Podcast bonus episode. What is this? What is this? Because it is I.
Oh my god.
Yes, Casual KJ Johnson, along with Lukewarm Just John.
Yeah, man, we're going casual this time around, man.
We're just a couple of dudes. We're just a couple of dudes having a chat.
Having a friendly debate.
Indeed, you know. Because I wanted to include this on the Halloween Havoc episode. Excuse me, not the Halloween Havoc, the Fall Brawl episode. Fall Brawl, yeah. But in the midst of the predictions, in the midst of the review itself, we were talking about a near 3-hour episode. Yeah. If we also included this debate, because...
And I know you guys love our voices, but I doubt you guys are going to stick around for 3 hours.
Indeed, because what we would normally do on a sans prediction episode is we would open up with something, you know, casual about the wrestling world and how we mm-hmm. feel about the build to something, or maybe talking about the results of some show.
Yeah, of course.
But because we filled it with the WrestleMania predictions, we... You know, needed to put this on the back burner. But I found it incredibly interesting because it is something mm-hmm. that I think is still present in wrestling today. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know that for a fact because you and I had the pleasure of going to a GCW show.
Yes, we did. We did.
Yes, the first time. Coming to Canada.
Yeah, I think the show was called Worst Behavior.
That's right, Worst Behavior. And it was, we must preface this before we get into anything that could be misconstrued as critical. It was a fantastic show.
100%.
Yes, I talked about it on my other show, mm-hmm. the Leave It Better podcast with mm-hmm. my brother John Greed, in which I discussed it at great length to yeah. how much I enjoyed a lot of the matches, Speedball Mike Bailey in the main event, having a fantastic match, Lefisto having a barn burner of a death match,
yep.
Along with other people that I had never even seen before. Cartwheel was fantastic.
Jay Cartwheel, yeah.
Yes, Boosie, the six man. The six trios.
Yeah, Boosie.
Yes, Boosie.
Effie and Alley Cat.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Along with many other things, it was a fantastic show. However, prior to that show, mm-hmm. Maybe about a couple of days, I'll say, I was on YouTube just scrolling, as I usually do.
Casual KJ.
That's right. And I came across Casual Johnson. And I came across a commentary from Jim Cornette. You know, he's been doing those shoot interviews for ages and ages.
Yeah.
And way back in 2000 time, early 2001, two perhaps, mm-hmm. He did a shoot interview in which it's titled Cornette Buries the Universe.
Of course.
Of his many topics of things that he dislikes. One of them came up hardcore wrestling. Mm-hmm. And specifically, he mentioned hardcore wrestling and ECW. He mentioned that he didn't understand the idea that these guys are doing all of this bunch of shit, mm-hmm. like beating each other over the heads with 2x4s and thumbtacks and trash cans and garbage wrestling and yada, yada, yada. And be that however you feel about hardcore wrestling is we're putting that off to the side because
that's not what we're talking about.
Yes, his main talking point that stood out to me that I was like, well, might have something there, is that he mentioned that they're doing all of this shit and they're doing all of this high-flying crap and all of this death-defying crap, and they are chanting, the crowd is chanting for the promotion and not the wrestler.
Yeah.
It's always ECW, 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 and not the guy that's actually killing themselves.
Yeah.
And then when we went to the GCW show, they would do some crazy shit. And you were there?
Yep, I was there.
I was there.
Yep.
I would say nearly a dozen times, if not more than a dozen times. Anytime that anything crazy would happen,
you would hear the GCW chants.
GCW chants. And I could not help but think back to that interview.
Yeah.
And that statement by Jim Cornette that these guys are killing each other and you're chanting for the promotion. So he said, why would you do all of this shit? Why would you do all of this crap if you... Basically, what he was saying is can't work a crowd into chanting and getting you over, but you are getting the promotion over. And it got me to thinking, and that is why I bring to the table today, because even in modern wrestling, like GCW, yes, is the hardcore style, the deathmatch style, but it's not just that. There's also something like AEW, for example, that they are doing crazy shit, and it's AEW chants.
A couple years back, it was CZW.
CZW, yes. These things that are happening where they are chanting for the promotion. Are these chants misguided? Is it a case of Jim Cornette being right 20 years earlier? Is it a situation where it might not be the wrestler that is more over than the promotion? And if that's the case, should they stop doing this stuff? Or is it more of a case where they should be picking their spots instead of just doing it on a nightly basis and attributing it to the company?
I personally don't agree with Jim Cornette. I see those ECW and GCW chants more as like if you see a WWE show and some crazy shit happens, you'll hear them chant, you know, this is awesome. I feel like the GCW and the ECW chants are like the indie version of this is awesome. You know, because when you think of an indie promotion, it's not like, WWE is a business. AEW, even though it's still pretty newish, it's still a business. I feel like these indie shows are more like, are closer together. Like the wrestlers, everyone on the roster, they're working towards uplifting the company. And the people in the crowd are either, you know, related to the wrestlers or related to someone in the company.
Yeah.
So I guess they chant the name of the company out of respect. Because I even the GCW show that we went to, there was a decent mix of the GCW chants, but you still got the Nick fucking Wayne chants. You got the cartwheel chants. You still had other people chanting, you know, wrestler's name or a faction's name, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like the chanting of the name, that comes from ECW. And I feel like as an indie promotion and as being viewed as the underdog, they're just doing what ECW did as a way to pay tribute to that, to like where they're coming from, right? And it's like, all right, it's an indie promotion. Because you don't hear people in WWE going like, WWE, WWE. It's a, you view it more as a
WWE universe.
they view it more as a company, like as a hey, this is where the indie guys come in to actually make real money, because this is like an actual proper company. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But that's kind of my take on it, where it's like more of like a, it's more of like out of like a respect thing from like where they come from type of thing. Mm. Being the underdog, being the indie wrestling type of thing, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah, because as a guy that watches a lot of ECW,
yeah,
you hear it all the time. Anytime anything happens, ECW. And I feel like all these indie wrestling companies took that same thing where you're basically marketing yourself from that.
You make a good point. I've been battling this for a long time. I've really been battling it and examining the ideas, and I've watched things in person, I've watched things on YouTube and things of that nature, and I hate to say this, but I think I agree with Jim Cornette.
Okay.
And I think my opening argument my opening argument to this is I am of the grounds of the idea of whether or not it is the superstar or the guy that's over the wrestler, however they feel, or the lady, is it them that are over or is it the company that's over?
Mm-hmm.
And I go through two kind of strains of thought.
Okay.
I go through the idea that like everybody in WWE, they're very catchphrase heavy. Right? Yeah. They're very catchphrase heavy. They always will chant the catchphrase, or they'll get behind somebody that's got a good character across.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The hardcore wrestler, or if we take just the deathmatch wrestler per se.
Yeah, well, that's what we're
yeah, let's if we're stick just if we're just match. Discussing the deathmatch wrestler, the deathmatch wrestler gets over, quote unquote, because I don't believe that they do.
Fair.
They get over by the weapons or the things that they do with material.
Okay.
Thumbtacks, chairs, barbed wire, fire, glass, light tubes, etc., etc. Do they stand out with anybody else on the same cards that are doing the same things?
You're saying if it's, if everyone's doing a deathmatch style,
exactly.
Do they stand out? Okay.
My answer is no, which is why I think the company is more over in this sense. Because if everybody is a deathmatch wrestler, then your company is a deathmatch wrestler, which means it doesn't matter who is on the card.
As long as it matters
that
match.
The GCW, well, let's not use GCW because they were more than just that, but let's pick, or just out of the blue, a trash bag company, a backyard wrestling company.
There we go. Yeah.
That specifically was designed on deathmatch. Then it's not whoever's on the show. It doesn't matter because it's Insane Clown Posse's Juggalo Championship Wrestling's coming to town.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then that gives me more credence to be like, oh, yeah, so no, it's not. Because anybody or everybody is hitting somebody with a light tube.
Yeah.
So if deathmatch wrestler number 6 comes along and hits somebody with 2 light tubes, okay, holy shit, or GCW.
Yeah.
And if they were to leave that promotion tomorrow, would it matter? Would it make a difference? No. They don't impact the company. Whereas if somebody is actually over, like a Hulk Hogan leaving a WWE for a WCW, let's say, Hulk Hogan makes heads turn.
Yeah, yeah.
Hulk Hogan makes somebody go, oh, maybe this WCW thing is better than I thought.
Yeah.
Can a Tommy Dreamer do that? I don't think so. So if we look at ECW now.
Okay.
Had they not gone to the WWE. Had they not gotten more national exposure by going elsewhere? If they just went from an ECW to a Ring of Honor,
mm-hmm.
or some other local indie thing,
yeah.
would anyone care? Would anyone follow like they would had they not gone national?
Yeah.
I don't know, because the deathmatch style is so limiting. And you will condition your audience to become so numb to it that there's only so high you can go. The exploding barbed wire deathmatch. Once the ring explodes, that's it. You can't go any further from there.
I'm trying to find a way to debate this topic,
mm-hmm.
but there's just the deathmatch wrestling, like you said, it has a ceiling,
mm-hmm.
and I can see that, but I'm still standing by the like, if we're just talking about the chanting,
yes,
of the promotion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still sticking with it's more out of like just custom,
mm-hmm.
especially in indie wrestling. It's more out of custom to just say the promotion's name,
mm-hmm.
because I do agree with you on the fact that deathmatch wrestling, if you have a promotion that's just deathmatch wrestling,
mm-hmm.
there's a ceiling to how far you can go.
Yeah.
Because even if you want to get out of the indies and make it onto a proper TV network, you would have to cool all that shit down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would have to basically restart your entire company.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to put a guy getting sliced open by a broken light tube on their
mm-hmm.
TV network. I think not even Spike in their glory days would have wanted that shit. I got
that, yes.
So I do think there is a ceiling on deathmatch wrestling, and I feel like that's a topic for another day. We might have to get John Greed in here, who's more of an expert on deathmatch wrestling.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like when we're talking about just the chanting portion of it, I feel it's just like some fun shit that the crowd say. I feel like the wrestlers that, like, I don't want to use actual companies because I don't want them to think that we're bashing them.
Yeah.
But again, yeah. GCW, like we were hearing GCW chants even during their regular singles matches.
Mm-hmm.
Like when something crazy would happen, like let's say a Hurricanrana off the top rope, we would hear the GCW chant. So I don't think it's like just a death match thing, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I agree with you on the whole death match part. I just feel like when we're speaking about just the chanting, I just feel like it's a thing that they do out of custom, because like the people that are coming to these new indie shows are the byproduct of the ECW age, or like their big brother probably was an ECW yeah. fan, you know what I'm saying? So they're coming from that, and they're seeing show after show
mm-hmm.
where every time a cool move would happen, they would yell ECW.
Mm-hmm.
And you're being accustomed to that since you're a kid, or, you know, if you watched late, whatever. But you've been accustomed to that, like, throughout all this time. And it's like, every time something cool has happened, you hear ECW, you hear ECW. Now you go to a AEW, you go to a GCW,
mm-hmm.
and some cool shit happens. And I feel like it's just like your brain, like, oh, shit, we got to chant, you know, the three letters. You yeah. know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I do agree with you on the whole deathmatch thing. Deathmatch definitely has a ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what anyone says, deathmatch. Because again, like you said, once the ring explodes,
yeah.
where do we go from here?
Once you set them on fire, you can't reset them on fire.
You know, and then mm-hmm. like even if you look at some of the hardcore legends like Mick Foley and Terry Funk, and I think you could start making the case for John Moxley as well.
Yeah.
All of those guys had underwhelming careers, in my opinion, before people go crazy on me.
Because
you, like, if you look, Mankind. John Moxley only held the WWE title once.
Yes.
And it was a terrible reign. Mm-hmm. Mankind held the WWE title once, I believe.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but it wasn't, there's no feud that made you, you know, be like, holy shit, this guy's like the legit champion. Yeah. Terry Funk, you know, he's a legend in his own right, but you know, aside from the Ric Flair feuds and that stuff, there's not, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like there's a ceiling for deathmatch wrestlers where you can only push them so far before you're like, okay, your style just doesn't mix with anyone else. So we're gonna have to either make every match a hardcore match, which is gonna dilute your star power.
Yeah.
Or we're going to have to make every match just a regular singles match, which is going to put you at a disadvantage against, you know, a mathematician like fucking Bret Hart or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
And I think, and that's what kind of brings me back to the question that I think Cornette was trying to get across here was, is it the wrestling style that's over, or is it the person? Because
I think that's where the issue is, where he used the chanting as his main weapon. But I think what he really means is, are you tuning in for the wrestler or the product that's being given?
And I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Is that if you're tuning in to watch the style and it doesn't matter who does it, is that a detriment to the wrestler? Because like for the hardcore style, I mean, when you mention like Terry Funk, for example, Terry Funk, yes, in the 90s, in the early 80s, but more so in the 90s, he started doing the hardcore wrestling style. He started doing the more extreme stuff.
Yeah.
But that was after the 1970s, where he was catch as catch can pro wrestling and was able to become one of the best wrestlers in the world, so much so that he was an NWA champion, first set of brothers to do so.
Yeah.
So, and in Japan, he and Dory would go up against the likes of the Sheik and Abdullah the Butcher, and they would have brawls, but wouldn't go as far as to say hardcore deathmatch.
No, it was just
more brawl-based style. It was
after he hit a certain age.
Yeah, that's when
he was like, you know,
hardcore
what?
Wrestling was starting to become the style.
Yeah.
And I would say he was over, and then his change and his switch to hardcore wrestling was a mere evolution of Terry Funk, a reinvention of Terry Funk, rather than him having to adopt a style in order to stay over.
Yeah.
So that's
because he's bringing his fame already into the hardcore game. So like it's basically what you were mentioning earlier, but in reverse. Instead of like leaving from a hardcore company, you're moving into one.
So so I think to just rely on a certain style in order to get you over, I think is a disservice. And I think it's actually not getting you over. And now that I've done the deathmatch business, I will now go to the modern wrestling.
And it's just not going to
make. Because I do think that it's a problem.
And we have a great example in the last couple of shows that we've been reviewing. Mm-hmm. We've been reviewing a tag team by the name of Public Enemy, who come from that hardcore ECW environment, and they're like, they're going to make the switch into modern wrestling.
Yeah.
But what happens? Every one of their matches has to be a hardcore match for some reason.
Garbage hardcore match. Yes.
Because I feel like I'm with you and Cornette on that.
Mm-hmm.
A promotion can't just be one style.
Yeah.
It just can't. Because at that point, like we said, a great example as well of that is the Insane Clown Posse.
Mm.
When they announce a show, you're not like, oh, so-and-so is fighting so-and-so. You're like, oh, I'm going to a insane clown posse show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with a lot of these deathmatch shows. You know, like when you hear someone speak about them, they're not going like, yeah, I'm going to go watch Big Bubba face Little Bubba or whatever.
Right.
They're like, I'm going to see a deathmatch show.
Yeah.
They're going just for that style of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see why, in that sense, Jim Cornette's right. You can't build a proper company off of one style. We've even seen it with the luchadors in Mexico. Even they're doing shit that's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
When all of you are doing shit that's mind-blowing, it's less impressive.
Yeah. How do you stand out?
Yeah, yeah.
And why are you doing it if the result is only getting the company over
and not
yourself? And I think that's the nail on the head. Because even talking about the GCW show,
mm-hmm.
And again, not discrediting the show, but every time that I was told, hey, come to the GCW show, we're going to the GCW show, we're doing it. And I stayed out of the match card because I wanted to go in completely fresh. But it was, oh yeah, GCW show. And the only thing that was on my mind was, oh, I'm going to get to see deathmatch wrestling. I don't know how I feel about that. That's going to be weird because I'm not a deathmatch guy. Oh, it's going to be really weird. And then when I got there, I was very pleasantly surprised that it was a real, like, collective.
Yeah.
It was a real good mix.
That's the thing.
And so you've gained a fan out of me, and I can say, like, people's names. Like, I've walked out with a new thing for Cartwheel. I've walked out with a bit more for Speedball Bailey. Love Lufisto. I always have. But she's been a good wrestler.
Yeah.
Again, good wrestler transitioning to do this little bit of hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you've gained a great fan out of me.
Because I feel like with GCW in particular, I feel like they started with that deathmatch style.
Mm-hmm. They still very much are.
Yeah, they're coming from that deathmatch style, but I feel like they're trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
But they still need to have like at least one or two matches.
Yeah, they've got their core.
Because like you said, like there's still people that go there expecting a death match.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It doesn't matter who it is, they're expecting some type of blood to be spilled.
I just had death match in my mind and never did I it was there mm-hmm. a mention. Mm-hmm. There was never a mention of one person that was gonna be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever I spoke, there was never one person that was like, X is going to be there, until maybe a couple days before, where I was told Matt Cardona is gonna be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I inferred, which I knew, but still, everything was about GCW, 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 GCW.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just, I kept on in the back of my head. It's like once you hear it, you can't unhear it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like every time now when I hear the chant of a promotion's letters
mm-hmm.
instead of a person's name, I'm going to be like,
Yeah,
is that the desired response?
Because you got to think of it too. Like most of the times that they chant those names, it's like the three letter of whatever company they're in. It's usually after they do a move where both men or both women, I don't want to be mm-hmm. that guy,
mm-hmm.
where both people are hurt, right? Yeah. So it's like, I can't chant for this. Because that's the thing with indie wrestling too. Indie wrestling isn't just like heel versus face. Sometimes you get a face versus a face. So then you get in the situation where it's like, who do I cheer for?
Indeed.
And then at that point you cheer for the company. Which again, it goes towards your point where the company sounds like it's getting more over, but I feel like it's more tradition than anything.
Mm.
I'm going to stick with it's more tradition than it.
Landed on tradition.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'm sticking by that. Sticking by it being more tradition than it being more like we don't care about the wrestlers or whatever.
I mean, it also makes me wonder whether or not, because I just thought about it, whether or not as the wrestler that is your intended response.
Because, yeah, because a lot that's of a, time, that's a This Is Awesome chant for indie wrestling.
Right. Yeah. But there's the question that I kind of have where it's like, you know, you hear a lot of wrestlers in interviews, they're like, oh, it doesn't matter if they're booing or they're cheering as long as they're reacting. Okay.
Mm.
But
that's a debate for another
day. Right. Right. A whole other debate. Whole other little bonus.
Yeah.
But you hear that a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's normally WWE wrestlers that, you know, are being told, hey, like a lot of people aren't over, so if you could just please. But some people actually believe that mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what type of response you're getting, just so long as they are reacting.
Yeah.
But as the wrestler, do you want to hear, like, after you do a 450 splash through a table from the inside to the outside, after, you know, using no hands in order to do so, you just bounced off the ropes and it was executed spectacularly and flawlessly and beautifully. Mm-hmm. Is the reaction that you want to hear the chant of the company's name? Or do you, as the performer,
mm-hmm.
want to hear, because If I was in their shoes, I'm an egotistical man. Yeah. I am an egotistical man. And if I want my stock to continue to build,
yeah.
then what I want the perception to be as somebody that is either new to the product or watching television at home, I would want them to be cheering for me after a spectacular move or a spectacular stunt that yeah. I have done.
Yeah.
And if I am laying there in my puddle of piss and blood, do I want the letters of AEW or GCW or this or this or this or company logo
yeah.
being the center point of the chant rather than myself? Is that the intended response that I want? And that's Jim Cornette's point.
Yeah.
Why are you doing these things?
I don't think, like, again, I think they do want to hear their name being chanted, but I also feel like the environment, like, you got to put yourself in that environment of an indie wrestler where it's like, mm-hmm. like, let's say, let's say Jake Cartwheel versus Speedball Mike Bailey, right? Yes. Amazing talent. Maybe they make it to WWE one time. Maybe they make it to AEW. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I wish them the best of luck.
Yeah.
But let's say for those other guys that probably aren't going to make it there, you know, and it's like, this is the company that hired me. This is the company that believes in me. This is the company that I'm pushing with my buddies. Like, this is me and my buddies where we're just trying to get this company over, because at the end of the day, this is where we eat from, because WWE is not calling, AEW is not calling. So I feel like when a move like that happens and you hear the GCW chants, the mm-hmm. ECW chants, of course, for a guy like, let's say, Matt Cardona, for yes. a guy like Cody Rhodes, like those top guys, they're like, why the fuck are they chanting the company's name? I'm doing all this shit. I can see that happening. But from a guy that's lower on the match card, you know, there has to be a sense of pride where it's like, yo, look at, we have an entire stadium or an entire locker room of people.
Yeah,
I don't know how much. Like, an entire group of people just screaming.
Locker room of people.
You know, because some of those shows, like 19 people in there. You know,
took me a second. An entire locker room of people.
So you have an entire locker room of people just chanting for your company's name. So I feel like for a guy that's lower on the thing, I think, like, maybe they probably still have the, like, oh, I wish that I was more. But the fact that they're still getting that reaction and that loud-ass reaction of people screaming, yo, GCW, and it's like, okay, we're doing something right, because mm-hmm. they're chanting the thing that we've basically conditioned them to yeah. to chant when some amazing shit's happening, you know?
Because
mm-hmm. I feel like when we're looking at this debate from a top star's point of view, mm-hmm. and from a top star point of view, yes, you want your name to be chanted,
uh-huh.
but I feel like from just an overall indie. That's the major, because most of
that's the core audience we're talking about.
Yeah, for like an indie wrestling show, I feel like any reaction is a good reaction, especially if it's, you know, if it's your company that you're putting all this time and effort into. You know, like I would love to like walk into like, I don't know, fucking the bank or something, and people are like, Colossal Tussle, Colossal Tussle. I'll be like, yeah, motherfucker, that's my shit. You know what I'm saying? But again, Cornette does have a point. I'm just disagreeing with him on the chanting. Mm. But I am agreeing with him on the fact that Deathmatch has, or just one single style of wrestling on a show, has its limits to how far you can push it.
Well, this was a very healthy debate. I mean, we have the ability on the Spotify app to put up a Q&A for our episodes, whether or not they liked the episodes or whether or not this is good, that's good, what do you want to talk about now, yada yada yada. I think this is actually the perfect platform for a Q&A, for a question, and that is, do you agree with the opinion of Jim Cornette, a.k.a. KJ Johnson, or the opinion of just John and probably a lot of indie wrestling fans that would side with you on this one, that, you know, it is the wrestler that is over and not just the company, whereas I would probably lean more towards the company being more over than the wrestler, and that should probably be on the minds of a lot more professional wrestlers when they get into the ring.
And again, let's keep the debate going. We're gonna have the poll or the Q&A on Spotify, but you can also talk to us on Twitter at the Colossal Tussle One, and give us your thoughts on what do you think, where do you stand, are KJ and Jim Cornette right? You know,
or is just John and the indie wrestling community right?
Me and my indie buddies, right? Like, you know, get on Twitter and just join the debate. Yes. You know, just keep it friendly. Don't go overboard.
Yeah, because I mean, at the end of the day, the professional wrestling scene on most of the independent promotions that are out today are fantastic.
Yeah,
as we said about the GCW show, absolutely fantastic. Yep. From top to bottom, I didn't dislike any match on that card, and I stood for 2.5 hours. My body was hating me, and I still enjoyed the show. Yeah, there's a lot of different indie shows that have a lot of different styles, and they lean more to having a core product of hardcore wrestling, and they still pull it off quite nicely. So by no means am I personally, even though I'm taking the side of Jim Cornette, am hating on that aspect of wrestling. However, I do think that, as we mentioned at the top of the show, there needs to be balance. And yeah, maybe we do need to be considering a little bit more about what the chants are and what they mean, both as a wrestler and as a fan.
Yeah. So
are we just cheering for the company, or are we cheering for the people that we actually enjoy?
Yeah. So again, we're going to keep the debate going online. Any wrestlers or former pro wrestlers that want to give their 2 cents,
We would love to hear it.
You guys can call in. You guys can send the email. You guys can write us on Twitter. Whatever the fuck you guys want to do.
Absolutely.
And let's keep the debate going, because I feel like it's a good debate, and we're probably gonna have a lot more. But this is a good little like debate starter.
A good little one for us, the Colossal Tussle Tandem, and all of our gentle listeners. Because gentle listeners, we thank you so much for joining us for this bonus episode for the listeners. A fantastic once in a lifetime experience.
Do not say we don't give you guys shit.
Honestly. So yes, you do have this for WrestleMania weekend, as well as the predictions and the Fall Brawl review, and we've got so much coming up. We've got tons of things going on. We have Halloween Havoc to culminate our our saga of Roddy Piper and Hollywood Hogan. We have the new season that will be incoming. We have a little bit of stuff in between, such as a review of Starrcade 1997.
Punishment episode.
Yeah, punishment episode, when that happens. Saturday Night's Main Event will be making a return soon.
Oh, yeah, at the end of every season, yes, Saturday Night Main Event.
Saturday Night's Main Event, the Halloween edition, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my God.
Which I'm very much looking forward to.
I'm not.
So the next couple of months of our colossal tussle is going to be quite interesting, and you never know when there's going to be a bonus dropped somewhere in between.
Yep.
So you can follow us on the Twitter, Colossal Tussle 1. You can follow us direct to KJ at Farone36. Mm-hmm. You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Audible, and everywhere in between. And, of course, if you wish to sponsor the podcast, you can send us an email at colossaltusslepod@gmail.com. That is colossaltusslepod@gmail.com, where we will sponsor anything and everything. Just send us an email and we will begin communications. But until then, the next time you will be seeing us as Halloween Havoc review. So we are out. Thank you.